Good morning, beloved. I am certainly glad to be here this morning to be able to share the Bible with you. You know, tomorrow, December 25th, is a day that the world recognizes, just as Aaron said, the day of Jesus' birth. But today, I don't want to talk about Christmas per se. I want to review what the Bible has to say about Jesus' birth. So let's begin. Please turn in your Bible to Micah, the fifth chapter. Micah, the fifth chapter, we'll begin in verse 1 and read the first four verses. But verse 2 is truly the prophecy. Micah chapter 5 and verse 1. We're going to do some reading this morning, so make sure that you got your eyes peeled. Now, muster yourselves in troops, daughters of troops. They have laid siege against us. With the rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. Now, as we read through this prophecy, there are a couple of things that you want to notice. Assyria is the one that's coming against Israel, the kingdom of the north. They will attempt and eventually take over the southern kingdom with the capital at Jerusalem. And so this is what we're talking about. When it talks about the judge of Israel on the cheek, smiting him on the cheek, that is the king of the northern kingdom. All right, so let's go on. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth from me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And you notice that that is easily a connection, a prophecy of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 3, behold, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Now, while that may be a little mysterious sounding to you, you remember in Revelation 12 when the woman who is in travail will give birth to a child. And you might think of that as Mary, but I don't think that's the case. I think it's the remnant of Israel and the remnant of Judah that's being spoken of here and in Revelation 12. Therefore, he will give them up and they're going to go into captivity. When she who is in labor has borne a child, that is the remnant of God, then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And that happened. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, that remnant, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. But verse 2 is the prophecy that we want to get under our belts. As for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago and from the days of eternity. Well, let's see what the next prophecy has to say. That's in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. This is an easy one to understand. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Now, turn over to Psalms 40, though. Psalm 40 and verses 6 through 8. Psalm 40 and verses 6 through 8. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Now, if you would, please, just as a side note, turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. We have the same wording. So, therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you, God, have prepared for me. in whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I've come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. And after saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he says, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first, that is the Old Testament, in order to establish the second, that is the reign of Jesus Christ. So these are the prophecies about Jesus. You can take a look at Psalm 16, and you can find more prophecies about Jesus. They are just replete throughout the Old Testament. And it is said that there are over 300 prophecies that have all come true in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ. The probability of that happening with just one person is 10 to the 17th power. So if you were to give you an idea of this, if you would take silver dollars and spread them all over the state of Texas, marking just one, and then shuffle all those dollars, silver dollars, all over the state, and have just one person to say, now, go and pick up the dollar that is marked. The probability of somebody doing that is 10 to the 17th power. That's quite a visual. Very interesting sort of thought. All right, so let's go on now. So we see the prophecy about Jesus. Now we're going to read about the birth of Jesus Christ. So if you would please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be a child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means God saves, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, then took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he fulfilled the prophecy, calling his name Jesus. Well, let's take a look now at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 2, in verse 1. Now in those days, a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. By the way, Bethlehem is also called, older than Bethlehem, it's called Bethlehemic, which means house of bread, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, you know what a manger is. It's essentially a feeding trough. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths for the King James Version and put him in that manger. Now, this is the way of Jesus' birth. The world, like I said, is picked out tomorrow for the day of of Jesus's birth. But I got to tell you, from what I can read, Jesus was probably born in the springtime. But all the commentators that you can read about Jesus's birth have him being born in every month of the year. So truly, no one knows when Jesus was born. The emphasis is, as was said at the Lord's table this morning, the emphasis is at or on Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. We are super grateful that Jesus was born to this earth. It was by grace of God that he did so. And as Jesus grew to stature to a man, he began preaching and proclaiming the gospel of God's salvation, God's grace, God's kindness to those who were his enemies, that is, the people of the earth. And as a result of doing this, Jesus was taken, scourged, placed a cross upon his back and shoulders, and having failed to carry that to his place of the cross, or Golgotha, Simon of Cyrene was put into service to help him take that cross to Golgotha. And there he was crucified. And afterwards, Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was alive again after death. And I've often said this, it is amazing to me how that after a person is dead, and Jesus was absolutely dead, the evidence from the scriptures will give you that. That's a fact that is logically arrived at. He is or was dead in that tomb. But how do you get a body to rejuvenate? A dead body to rejuvenate? Think of all of the systems that the body has, the circulatory system, the lungs, all of the stomach and intestines and pancreas and gallbladder and all of those parts that belong to a human body. How do you rejuvenate a pancreas? How do you rejuvenate a gallbladder? How do you rejuvenate a brain? How do you get the cells to come back to life inside the body? How do you get the cells to come back alive of the skin? That's just an amazing, amazing story. And it shows the power of our God who raised Jesus from the dead. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about the angels and the shepherds for a bit. If you continue with me in Luke chapter 2, look down to verse 8. Look down to verse 8, please. Here's the truth of the matter. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, I would be frightened too, I got to tell you. But do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And when the 8 days had passed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. All right, so we've got some reading about this, and we understand that Jesus was born just as the scripture says. It doesn't give a date. It doesn't give a particular time. No time reference is mentioned. We understand that Jesus was born in just these ways, Matthew chapter 1 and Luke 2. And so that's always a reference for us. But let us always remember how grateful we are for Jesus' birth. For without Jesus, we have no hope whatsoever. We have no hope of heaven. We have no hope of salvation. We cannot go anywhere and be with God because Jesus Christ would not have been born. So how grateful are we for God's grace that provided Jesus Christ for the sins of the world? And the world is looking at it in a materialistic sort of way. Even tomorrow, as it's called Christmas Day, which is Christ Mass, as our Catholic friends would say. And that day, December 25th, was taken from a pagan festival called Saturnalia. Saturnalia, the worship of Saturn. So, we understand how and why December came to be, but we also understand what the Scriptures truly has to say about the birth of Jesus Christ. So now we've seen about the angels and the shepherds and the power of God. So there are three points that we might get from this lesson. Number one, we saw the prophecy about Jesus. Number two, we saw the person of Jesus being born. And number three, we saw the power of God and the power of God in bringing forth Jesus. But now let's go back to the book of Micah, please. Back to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 5 again. This time beginning in verse 5, and let's read through verse 15. This one will be our peace. Let me read verse 4 again, please, just to get the context. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. And there's a couple of ways you might want to consider that. Great territorial-wise to the ends of the earth, but also to the ends of the earth, that is, in a spiritual context. And this one will be our peace between God and man. When the Syrian invades our land, when he tramples on our citadels, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men. Now, if you were to stop and think about that, elders and perhaps Bible class teachers, the number 7 is the perfect number in the Bible. If you see the number 7 in the Bible, it means a wholeness or a fullness of time or a completion of something. Excuse me. So we have 7 shepherds or elders and 8 leaders of men. Now, don't you think that's rather interesting that there's 8 listed there instead of the 7? Well, you see, 8 is one more than 7. And so God will have more than enough men or leaders to accomplish and protect and prolong the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 7, then the remnant of Jacob will be among peoples like dew from the Lord, like showers on vegetation, which do not wait for man or delay for the sons of men. Well, now that's kind of sort of strange, but at the same time, if you think of that spiritually, it's like a refreshing rain or a refreshing dew that we wake up to. And that's the remnant of Jacob will be among the nations, as it says. Among many peoples, like a lion, which among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, which if he passes through, tramples down and tears, and there is none to rescue. Now, there's a specific prophecy about the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Your hand will be lifted up against your adversaries, and all of your enemies will be cut off. It will be in that day, declares the Lord, that I will cut off your horses from among you and destroy your chariots. You're going to have to depend on Jesus Christ and not military might. I will cut off the cities of your land and tear down all your fortifications. You can't go anywhere to any particular city, and if you do, you still have to depend on Jesus Christ. You can't depend on the people of a city that you go to. I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you will have fortune tellers no more. I will cut off your carved images and your sacred pillars from among you, so that you will no longer bow down to the work of your hands. I will root out your Asherim from among you and destroy your cities, and I will execute vengeance and anger and wrath on the nations which you have not obeyed. Now, in the northern kingdom, they mostly had evil kings that were involved in tremendous amount of idolatry. And even in Judah, there were evil kings, and then sometimes there were good kings. This is about the time of Hezekiah, king of Israel, and so king of Judah, excuse me. And as we see here, that even Judah was involved in idolatry, and God says, I'm going to destroy all of these things from your cities. And he says, I will execute vengeance, God's vengeance and anger and wrath on the nations which have not obeyed. Even in the Old Testament, God was made known to them by the things that existed, the animals, the plants, his creative organizational and his creative ability and power. Everybody could have seen that and honored God, but instead they ran off to idols made by their own hands. All right. So let's go to Matthew chapter 5 then. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 31. We're talking about the power of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 31 through 34. My bad, Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. And beginning in verse 31. Now, listen to these words. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, Jesus is there right now, don't you know? These are his words that he's saying. So you can get this from this, that Jesus is going to return. He's not going to return for a 1,000-year reign. He is going to return, and all the saints will meet him in the air. Everybody will have a resurrection. Those that have done evil to a judgment, those that have done good to heaven. And so when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. And one of the points that I want to make here is you notice that it says when the Son of Man, that's a servant name. Jesus was the servant of man to bring them to God. But we're going to see something else here in just a moment. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, how much power do you think Jesus has to say, all of you billions of people that have never obeyed me, you're going to go to the left. That means you receive condemnation as your judgment. You are going to go to hell. But on the other hand, he says, now all of you people that have obeyed, that have been saved, that have submitted to baptism and have lived a righteous life, you too are going to be judged to heaven. All right. So then the king, now in verse 31, we talk about the Son of Man. Now in verse 34, we talk about the king, who's one and the same person. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, this is a lot of information in one city. We've studied a lot of scripture this morning. It's for the fact that you can know the story of the birth of Jesus Christ and a bit about what it means to have Jesus upon this earth. As the world does its thing tomorrow, as the world does its thing on Christmas, we worship the Lord God today and every Lord's Day, every week, every Sunday. And we remember his death, burial, and resurrection. So this morning, if this has brought any kind of thought to your mind that perhaps I need to clean up my life, perhaps I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins, perhaps I need to do what God has told me to do rather than doing the things that I want to do. I want to give up my will to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now's your opportunity. My bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. At a favorable time I listened to you, and on a day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time, and behold, now is a day of salvation. Your salvation, if you're amiss with God in any way and you want to correct that, if you want to be with God and to live with God and go to heaven at your demise, then this is your opportunity.